StoryCorps is a unique oral history project that collects the voices of our times. Recently, friends and law partners Nikki Shutt and Melissa Burnett sat down to talk about their lives and careers, including their fight to bring marriage equality to South Carolina. Here, Nikki asked Melissa how she first became passionate about issues like civil rights.
Can you just tell the KKK story? I mean, which, you know, I never get tired of hearing it. I'm always inspired by it.
Oh, well, thank you. I was 18, and I was born in rural North Carolina. And when I say rural, I mean really rural North Carolina, Anson County. And we moved to Bowling Green, Ohio in 1960 and lived there until I finished high school. But in that period, 1960 to 68, I would spend all my summers back in that little town and stay with my grandparents because I loved it. And I would work at the only restaurant in town, which was the truck stop. That's what everybody called it. And in the 60s, of course, black people didn't come inside. And it was right in the mid to late 60s. All the protests were going on, and in some instances, African-Americans would try to come inside in some places, like in Greensboro and other places, and sit down and be served at lunch counters. I wasn't terribly aware of that because we hardly even got any news in Anson County, North Carolina, but I was well aware of the KKK. I'd seen them all my life, seen crosses burned, seen them ride and so forth, and they're truly terrifying. But while I was working there in the summer of 68 and I was 18, one day a young African-American truck driver came in and sat down at the counter. So I said to self, I'm going to serve this man because he looks hungry. And so I did, and I took his order, and just the whole room, small room, was just hushed and staring while they were cooking the food. And then I served him and he started eating, and still nobody was saying a word. And then the owner of the truck stop came over to him with a paper plate and just took his plate and turned his whole food upside down onto the paper plate and shoved it back at him. And I guess at the time that seemed like a compromise. You know, he didn't make him leave. Nobody came and beat him up. But he made him eat off of a paper plate as though he couldn't contaminate a real plate. So the gentleman finished his meal, paid for it, and left. And, of course, I was the one getting the stares then for serving him. But the owner never criticized me or said anything to me, probably because my dad was so respected and my family respected in the small town, been there. One of the founders of this Scottish settlement. So nobody said anything to me. But overnight, that night, all these posters, these flyers, pieces of paper showed up on all the trees and utility poles in town advertising a KKK rally. I'd seen it before. They always show up overnight because nobody wants to see who's putting them up. So I'm thinking, all right. Somehow I knew you're not supposed to put posters on a utility pole. I don't know how I ended up being a lawyer. I guess I was a lawyer when I was 18.
You're how old at this point?
I'm 18. So I call the police department, and there's probably one police officer. He's probably a KKK member. I said, isn't it true that you're not supposed to put flyers on utility poles? He says, yes, ma'am. And I said, well, there are KKK flyers all over the utility poles. You going to take them down? No, ma'am. I said, well, is it okay if I take them down? Sure, if you want to. I said, okay, I'm going to take them down. He says, okay. And so I start walking around town.
You guys can't see Melissa, but Melissa has, you know, naturally very blonde hair, blue eyes. She's tall. I mean, she's the epitome of the girl next door kind of. And here she is taking posters around.
All right.
KKK posters down.
And so anyway, I walk her all around town that morning, and I have an armful of about 100 KKK posters. And if it's on somebody's tree in their yard, I go to the door and I say, do you know there's a KKK poster on your tree? And they always say, no, I don't know. I say, well, you mind if I take it down? Oh, sure. Nobody's going to admit they know about the poster. So I get them off the trees, too.
Did your grandparents know you were doing this?
No. So I have all these KKK posters walking around. Next thing I know, there are two pickup trucks following me with KKK members threatening me about taking their posters.
What are they saying?
They're calling me in lover and, you know, telling me to die and so forth. And so I just keep walking and doing it. And
then are you scared?
My heart is racing, but I just say, you put them on the utility poles, you're not supposed to. And so I finally go in to do my work at lunch at the truck stop, and they show up there, and they come in, and the owner runs them off and tells them not to come back. He took a risk.
Yeah.
He took a real risk.
Yeah.
And, you know, they gave me a lot of trouble, and there was this literally a swimming hole everybody would go to. And these little boys would, you know, I don't even know these people. Little boys, you know, 8 and 10 year olds would swim up to me and say, in lover, and, you know, really it's horrible. And I'd say, yes, you know, I am. And then they were so shocked they'd leave me alone. So I guess I learned at that age, if you just own it, people leave you alone.
Makes me scared
you know,
for
you. You know. But I don't know. I think that was just an experience that a lot of people don't have.
Melissa Burnett and Nikki Shutt from the StoryCorps mobile booth in Columbia. Produced locally by Laura Hunsberger at South Carolina Public Radio. To see photos or to learn more, visit southcarolinapublicradio.org and storycorps.org. StoryCorps is recording in Columbia until December 19th. To make a reservation, call 1-800-850-4406. That's 1-800-850-4406.